Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville. Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on The V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
We are here on a Fast Break Friday, the aforementioned Mike Pratt and yours truly, and we are coming to you from my living room, as a matter of fact. Simon the dog is right here. He's being very quiet. Let's see if we can get him to play some squeeze ball later, maybe make some noise. Hey, Simon. Want to say hi to everybody? No? You being a good boy? Being quiet? Oh, there we go. Uh-oh. Somebody must be at the door. Is somebody at the door?
It looks like no one's at the door, but he may sense somebody's coming.
That's the kind of anticipation you want from your point guard.
That's right. That's right. So, that's right.
Unfortunately, he's built more like a pulling guard than a point guard. But
You want your pulling guards to have a little anticipation too, you know.
I should have shut the door. I forgot. If you leave the door open, anybody who moves in the neighborhood, he thinks is coming to see him. Let's start with this, because we have I'm doing David Johnson will be back tomorrow. That's what you want me to tell everybody? Okay.
What was wrong with him?
He missed last game. They think he was sick, but it wasn't COVID. They thought it might have been strep or something. He was sick, but he'll be back tomorrow, which is obviously good news for them because he's a very important player for them, so that's good news. But we've talked about this at length in the last few weeks. I want to jump into this right at the start. I promise you, though, this week we'll get to your topic. She put a whole sheet together. We did hardly none of them last week. But the NCAA announced their contingency plans for the tournament. It sounds as if, to oversimplify it, that once they announce the bracket, they're not going to reseed anybody, which is important because that means, like, if we announce the bracket on Sunday – and Monday morning, some team says, uh-oh, we just tested 10 guys positive. We can't play. They're going to pick a team, I assume it'd be one of the NIT teams, and slot them in that spot. And it doesn't matter what their seed is. They could get a 3 seed. They could get a 16 seed. They could get anything because they're not going to reseed the whole tournament. That's a little dicey, but...
That's something I wouldn't have expected them to do.
That's a little roll of dice there, folks. Yeah. I mean, you know, suppose... I don't know. So it could work either way. I mean, suppose the team that has to pull out is one of the automatic qualifiers from the very small leagues, and this team that gets in is, you know, the first team out. It's, I don't know, I'm looking on that sheet of who the first teams out are, but like North Carolina or Duke or somebody, they wind up going in as
on the bubble.
They go in as like a 14 seed. I mean, that's going to be...
And they play like crazy and win 3 games.
I mean, it's... But I get... You know what the bottom line is? They've got to play the thing.
Absolutely. We've said that for a whole, you know, since last summer, and that's so true. And the TV people will be there, whether it's Winthrop or Duke playing Kansas. It doesn't make any difference. The TV will be there.
Well, and the only contingency appears to be, I guess that was a bad analogy, because if the team got COVID that was one of the automatic qualifiers, I misspoke. Every participating conference should have the opportunity for at least one team. So if that team pulled out, they'd probably take the second place team from that league. So they won't replace an automatic qualifier with one of the NIT teams. They'll only replace one of the...
They go to your league and pick... typically, it's the league that's a one-bid league.
Yes, exactly.
So it's the backup team, the second place team, or the team that finished in the championship game.
So that seems to be fair, because then you're not going to get a Michigan State playing as a 14 or something like that. But if for example, it's the automatic qualifier from the SEC or the ACC, they won't have to replace it with an ACC or SEC team because they're going to have other teams from the league in there. They're as long as each league is represented, they're going
to then they go to the NIT.
Then they'll go to the NIT teams. So that's what it comes down to. And it has to be within 48 hours. If you get 48 hours of the announcement of the bracket. So if again, using this scenario, it says this statement could not be more clear. Replacement teams will only be introduced within 48 hours after the announcement of the field and at no time thereafter. So if you play your Thursday game, and Friday, 9 of your guys get COVID, you're forfeiting your Saturday game. That's what they don't want to say. The guy from the NCAA, David Warlock is his name. He said
communications guy, I believe.
Yep. He's the director of media coordination. His term was, because somebody said, so it's going to be a forfeit? He said it'll officially be a no contest, but potato, potato.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to.
Well, they supposedly have the bubble and the hotels and everything set up to not have this happen, okay? But you never know. And it would be sad if a serious contender, it would be sad for the kids. Well, any kid, any team that gets in, it'd be sad for to have to pull out because of that. But if you had a pretty good team on a roll, like let's use Dayton last year.
time of the Dayton reference is, let's go to the clocks here. What's the official time? 12:11 if you're scoring at home.
You have to admit, that was a hell of a ball club.
No,
that was a Final Four type team.
Potentially, I mean, no, there's no question.
Yeah, and they just got cheated. I mean, like everybody who did. Kentucky, they're rolling along really well last year. Went 7 of the last 8, projected to be a second. I think they had a shot with the right bracket to get to the Final Four.
That's a good question.
You know?
That could be a poll question, Nick. Which team last year got shafted the most? Because Kentucky could be on that list. Dayton could be on the list. Florida State could be on the list.
Yes, I was going to go there.
That was Leonard's best team. They had a chance to win the whole thing.
They sure did.
So that'd be an interesting.
Should have been a one seed.
That'd be an interesting conversation.
And Dayton should have been a one seed.
But by the way, how great is this? How great is the big-headed producer working? David Warlock, the guy we just quoted?
Yes, sir.
He's joining us Monday at 12:20.
Oh.
How about that?
Nicky V, congratulations.
We're going to grill the guy. Gets on.
We're going to tip of the hat, Nicky V.
We're going to hammer him. He's going to be sobbing by the end of that interview.
You tell him, I got a team called the Newman Nationals that will play anywhere you want. They'll fill in anywhere. Just slot them.
Oh, my goodness. So that's that very good booking out of you, Nicholas. But there you go. So they're going to play it. And you know what it comes down to? I think they made peace with the fact there's no perfect solution. That's what it comes down to. They said there's not going to be anything where you look and go, wow, that's a perfect. So let's just get a plan in place and get this thing played because we've got to play it or you're going to wind up putting shutters on the buildings in Indianapolis. They can't have a second year where they don't play this thing.
No. And there'll be a lot of colleges, particularly in the mid-range or the one-bid leagues, that are counting on this
money. Absolutely.
To support. Everybody's counting on it to support programs. But the bigger conferences – the more established the football power fives, those people can get over the bumps a whole lot easier than Ohio Valley Conference. You got a couple teams
question.
In there that are playing well. And you know, in the Mid-American.
Yeah.
You know, they need that money.
It's going to be interesting if David comes on Monday, and I don't want to jinx them, but if Bellarmine wins.
How about that? Yeah.
They would be the conference champs and not allowed to go.
Right.
So we'll have to attack poor David. He'll have to come on and we'll just...
Why is that? Why is that?
What the hell are you thinking over there?
Yeah. Are they playing the eight, the Sun? What are
the
they?
A-Sun.
A-Sun. Are they playing a tournament?
I think they are.
Are they? Okay.
But this is going to be for the regular season championship. Are they playing a tournament? I don't know. Maybe they're not. Scotty's probably listening. Scotty, you guys playing a tournament? I don't know. But that's the conference championship game. They were supposed to play Liberty 2 games. They would have played him here, and they can't get Freedom Hall for the second day, which is
that's crazy.
So perfect. So that's why Denny – I was watching a game on TV the other day. Somebody posted it. Louisville playing North Carolina. I don't know when it is. It's January something. And North Carolina wins the game, and they're like – I don't remember. They're like 16-2 or something, and Louisville loses, and they're 4-4. Carolina's played 18 games. Denny's played 8 because they couldn't get into Freedom Hall. Well, they had the rodeo or whatever the hell they had in there, the farm show. They could never get in there.
That was true. Now, your brother coached this. They had their own arena on campus. Okay, we played in there one time. I understand that. But when I was at Charlotte, we used the Charlotte Coliseum, which was state-of-the-art back then.
Right.
And they had a hockey team. They'd have the Globetrotters. They'd have a tractor pull. You name it, they'd have it. So we would try to get a schedule and then give it to them, worst case, if we could, get them to give us the dates ahead of time. Invariably, one time I forget who I had coming in there, Texas maybe or somebody like that.
And they said you can't have the arena?
Well, they gave us the date, and then I got it all locked up, and they go, oh, by the way, we're having the dog show, whatever. And so the game fell apart because they couldn't make it, you know?
It's tough. It's tough when you don't have the control of your own arena. But anyway, so they're going to play one game, and winner take all. That's fantastic. Very exciting. ESPNU is going to cover
it. Yeah, right.
Hard
right.
to believe in 1 year they've got all this done. Remarkable. So
well, I think the timing couldn't be better for Bellarmine in that regard because of all the cancellations of games, moving around of games. I think it's opened up some slots for people. I was watching a game the other day on the U, and Bob, I was shocked. I forget who it was, but two teams that I never would have bet were on television. Okay.
Oh.
And they were on. It was a nice ball game. It was an entertaining game. I forget who it was. But anyway, that was...
No, I'm just... I mean, what a difference it is. Like, I think back, I was about 20 years too soon doing what I did. I was at St. Francis, New York, which is a Division I program, but, I mean, we couldn't even get our games on the radio. We wound up getting them on the public radio station just to get them on, which actually was quite an achievement. And when I went to Europe, my mother and brothers, they had no idea how we were doing over there because you couldn't get scores. And now you can watch any game in any league anywhere. Yeah. I mean, they've all got websites. And St. Francis, I went back, I don't know, about 4 years ago. Their gym, their Division I, their gym seats 1,200 people. That's how small it is. And they were on television.
Oh, really?
They were on MSG Network. I was like, they have the portable baskets, you know, like the big arenas. Mm-hmm. I was like, where the hell was this when I was here? We had to fight the baseball team. They were in their preseason practices. And sure. Guys taking infield and hitting actual hard balls. And I'm watching pieces of wood fly off the floor.
In high school, the baseball team, which I played on, but they'd come in at the end of when we were done with practice.
Take a little infield.
They were, and I'd hang around and bat with them and hit it off the hard. You know, I mean, yeah, oh yeah, we did, but that was high school.
This is Division I.
Yeah, it's Division I. Now, I have to ask you, since you brought it up.
Okay.
Okay, they had the goals on the poles and like
a big
time
program.
Yes. Uh-huh. Prior to that, did they hang from the walls?
Oh, no, it was in the ceiling.
Oh, they're
yeah, the kinds that you okay. could use. Remember,
yeah,
you had
they
that big gun,
up.
That power gun, and you turn it, and they would go up in case you needed to have some sort of an event in there. That's what all the Division I places had back in the day.
Well, you know, in Lexington, we didn't have it. You didn't have it down here where the Cardinals played, Freedom Hall. But Vanderbilt, which was the oddest-shaped arena there was, okay? And in Vandy, basketball was huge then. I mean, it'd sell out that because there wasn't the other things, hockey and football. I mean, it was a big deal for the city. But their baskets came from the ceiling.
I saw there's a picture. Yeah. Oscar Combs said, because I put that on. I sent a tweet. I said, anybody, because you know who still has the baskets from the ceiling? Duke.
Do they really?
Cameron Indoor still has the baskets suspended from the ceiling. So I said, do any other Power 5 schools have it from the ceiling? Nobody could come up with one. But Oscar said it wasn't that long ago where Vandy did. But then Vandy had another bizarre thing. They put them on the baseline, but it was not like a traditional basket thing like they've got now. It was this like spider looking thing. Did you? I'll see if I can see the picture. It's two poles in the floor, and it's like way wide of where the basket is, and they come at an angle, and they're holding the basket like that. I'll have to find this one for you.
Well, when we played, they hung from the ceiling.
Yeah, and then a lot of Division I's were like that.
Well, it was a different look because when you played in Lexington or other places.
Well, you were lucky if you had the standalone basket. Yeah. You were the exception. You weren't the rule.
Well, they had them down here at Freedom Hall, too.
No, again, those were big pro arenas. The Nets, the Colonels were playing there. So, but, I mean, Rutgers had theirs suspended from the ceiling. And a lot of them were because they used those buildings for other things.
That's
they had to put
move
the baskets up when,
yep.
when they had graduation or a concert or something in there. I'm going to find this picture for you. I'm surprised you would remember this if you see it, I would think. Because this, I think, was after they were suspended from the ceiling. I got to find it. But I can't. They said but it's true. A guy texted me, and he's right. If you go to the Division I programs in the Northeast, their gyms tend to be smaller. That's the nature of the beast. So there's a lot of them that still have them suspended from the ceiling. I mean, what's the sense of buying those portable baskets? You don't really need them. I mean, you put them there because you have people sitting in the end zones. Nobody's sitting in the end zones in those buildings. They're all on the side.
The pockets move to the side, yeah.
My father told me back when he played, I mean, what a different time it was. A lot of them were in these you know, rickety old, like, there used to be a running track. Like, a lot of them had a running track.
The Y used to have that, downtown Y.
And the corner shots would actually cut. Like, if you shot it from the corner, you might hit the running track.
Yeah, they hit the line drive.
Shoot a line drive. But he said they were the baskets that were suspended from the wall. And there were
That's
fans.
That's what my high school was.
Well, the fans would get up in there, and it was when the other team was shooting a free throw, they'd shake.
Oh, really?
They'd start shaking the whole basket? Yeah, they'd start pulling on the pole of the basket and making it go up and down. It was a very different time, to say the least.
But, you know, a very cool place to play. You talk about cool places to play. When I was in high school, and even really, you know, grade school, there was a guy whose sons played just outside of Dayton, in the country outside of Dayton.
Second Dayton.
Okay. And he was a farmer, and he had a barn, and he converted it into a basketball court for his boys.
Really?
Yeah. And we would go out there on Sundays because, you know, sometimes in the season in high school, you'd play Friday, maybe Saturday, but maybe just Friday. But everybody would go out on a Sunday and play at the barn. It was called Weeks's. The gentleman's name was Weeks. And he had two kids that played at Northmont High School. Just prior to me, one of them was a senior when I was a freshman or sophomore. But anyway, we had some great games, play in the barn, and there was a situation where you shot a high arcing shot. There was the support
stuff
was up there.
You had to shoot over the beam?
You had to shoot. You had to make sure you didn't put too much arc because you hit it.
Oh, I thought you meant...
You could put a little. It wasn't like the line drive. You could put a little. But, you know, if you're used to shooting an arc shot, you just automatically let it go and it hits
the beam.
It comes down, yeah.
My father said a lot of the church courts in New York, I think we've told this on the year before, not only they have low ceilings, but sometimes they had a support pole actually in the court. And they would run plays
around
you'd run a guy into the screen. It was a permanent screen. Here's the picture. I know it's radio, but that's Vanderbilt. You don't remember that?
No, it wasn't like that when I played. It was, I think it came only from the ceiling.
Well, I'll show you the one that was when you, because Oscar, sorry, folks, but this is what Oscar, that's how it looked when you played.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it looked. Yeah, they dim the lights all around. People are smoking. You can see the smoke.
This is truly
up.
Bizarre, though, this one. I mean, the one where it's got these wide.
Yeah. It looks like a goal for soccer.
Goal. It does.
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
You know, the other thing about the Catholic schools back in the day, we went to Piqua one time. Piqua Catholic was a really good Class A school. I mean, one of the top in the state. So we scheduled them. We were double A, the big school. We scheduled. They came to our place when we went up there. We played on tile.
Oh,
tile
God.
Floor. And I'm sure you saw that.
We played once in my old league, believe it or not, in college. Catholic University played York, Pennsylvania. They had this old gym, and they played on this floor. It was, I don't know, tile or something. It was hard as a rock. It was terrible. They fortunately got a new facility now, but, oh, my God, you dove for a loose ball, then you took your hands and your life in your hands.
And you'd slip, and they put stuff down, but after a while, I mean –
oh, yeah.
Sweat on wood is tough, but sweat on tile
never goes away.
Oh, man, it's like ice skating, you know?
That's true. It is unbelievable, some of the places you played. Did you ever play? There was nowhere in college by the time you were playing had a fan-shaped backboard, was it? Did you ever play in a fan-shaped backboard in college?
No, only in high school.
High school I played. Yeah, I hated them. Yeah. Did you like them? I hated them.
Yeah,
they look so tiny. You couldn't. I like to.
But we had fan shape on the couple playgrounds we played on.
Yeah, playgrounds are different.
Yeah.
But my God, we had a. Oh my God, I hated those things. I don't think I could make. It was terrible. There's no. I was a little bit of that. A little Earl Monroe influence in me. Earl liked to, you know, do a little English on the board. There's no board to hit there. The thing is so tiny.
There's not. There's not at all. We were talking about arenas. I can remember the first time we went to Chicago to play Wisconsin. It was New Year's Eve. We get to Chicago.
Why were you playing Wisconsin in Chicago?
I didn't schedule it. I have no idea.
I mean, why wouldn't Wisconsin play in Wisconsin?
Probably because Adolph wouldn't go there, I guess. I don't know. But we're playing in the Chicago Stadium.
Oh, nice.
The old stadium.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay? A lot of atmosphere.
Cool.
Hockey.
That old scoreboard. I love that old scoreboard.
Yeah, you had the Bulls. You had
the Blackhawks.
The Blackhawks. I mean, that was big stuff. So they, of course, they didn't take – in December, they didn't take unfreeze the ice all the way. So you had a little bit of ice over under the wood, right? And we walked out of the hotel where we were staying after a pregame meal. Adolph said, just go take a walk. You know, don't lay in your bed. And we'd go take a walk. We walked out the door, turned around, came right back. There was a sign. You know how at banks they had a lot of those?
The time and the temperature.
Time and temperature. 1 degree at 1 o'clock. 1 degree. So now we get in the bus and we go to play at the Chicago Stadium, and the locker room was a dump. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even know if it was the, Bulls. I can't remember Bulls or what, but it was a dump. We come out. It was colder than hell.
Oh,
I mean, it was outside. It was cold. And the ice inside on the wood was cold. Wasn't a huge crowd. You know, we were used to 11,000. And it was maybe 5,000, okay? And 5,000 in the old, you know, it's like people rattling around in there.
That thing holds about 18,000, I think.
Yeah, it used to. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Chicago Stadium.
You don't realize it. Like, when we broadcast games, a couple of times they've done that. We've gone to the Garden and done a game, and it's laid over the ice. And even though you walk in, it's not that cold. You put your feet down, and by the end of the game, you don't realize it comes up through the floor.
Yep.
Your feet are frozen solid. I don't think I'd want to go play that way. I didn't even want to sit there and broadcast that way.
Well, the ice is bad, and in professional ball, there was, back in the day, a lot of that, okay, because of a multi-use facility. But the worst is when you go to the Garden and they're having the zoo.
Oh, well, they don't have it anymore. The circus.
The circus. They have to put all the animals in a lower level, and you have to go by, and that stink comes up because they're storing the animals in the Garden, lower level, you're playing on the upper level.
I asked that, which didn't sit well with some people, but remember the Garden went through that multi-jillion-dollar renovation about five years ago. And I said, are they going to pump in the urine smell just to try and capture the atmosphere of the old place, or will they just let it evolve naturally? Now they don't have the circus anymore, so you don't have to worry about that.
The Garden's pretty cool, the new Garden. It was a big thrill for me. We went up there to play, and with Dayton always involved in the NIT or playing somebody from New York, the Garden was like the Mecca.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm still amazed how many kids are jazzed up to play there. You talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, we went in there, and the ABA had a doubleheader, tripleheader Saturday.
Oh, I remember.
Okay. And it was so cool for me because we didn't play. We went to the Palestra and played my junior year. We played Pennsylvania.
Also cool.
And that was pretty
very
cool place.
Very cool building.
Very cool. And but just to play in the Garden.
So you never played in the Garden then, huh?
Yeah, with the Colonels.
I mean, but you never did in college. Kentucky never went there.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Wow. Adolf wouldn't go back to New York after the scandals.
Oh, that's
and everything,
true. So. Yeah,
or that's what he said. I don't know.
Yeah, probably something to that. We'll take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a short time out. We'll come back. Mike's got a whole, man, does he have topics there. We could do 6 hours today.
So we could.
We'll do some of that, talk about the upcoming games for the Cards and the Cats, and a whole lot more as we roll on Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Now might be the best time to give a gift of fine jewelry. It's a sure way to bring a smile to someone's face. At Shane Company, we make shopping easy. Stop by our store, where we're going above and beyond to keep you safe and healthy. Enjoy the sparkle of our diamonds, the vibrant color of our natural gemstones, the luster of our cultured pearls. Visit us online to shop the same great selection. Not sure where to start? We have fantastic online tools to help you find the perfect gift. Looking for something for yourself? You can try on anything virtually with your phone and even drop a hint. Our jewelry consultants are happy to make suggestions and answer your questions. If you'd like, you can set up an in-store or a virtual appointment. Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
You need an effective and efficient way to communicate with your team. Whether it's across the building, across town, or across the state, RCS Communications is your local expert when it comes to wireless, two-way communications for any job and any size company. Using rugged, durable, and digital Motorola Solutions two-way radios, we can build a custom solution that will work for you. Contact us today for a free, no-obligation demo at 1-800-767-7384 or visit us online at www.rcs.info.
Hi, this is Mike Pratt. Healthy people live with high standards, which is why I take Evercure CBD. Evercure products are only made from the sweetest flowers of premium CBD hemp grown in Kentucky. When you taste this full spectrum distilled CBD oil, you will realize why Evercure CBD is Kentucky fine bluegrass made. It is truly a local treasure. It works. Purchase your Evercure at evercurecbd.com. Enter Mike P at checkout to receive 10% off your purchase.
This is Mark Ennis here to tell you once again about my friends at 25 Again. I've been on the program for a little over 2 years now, and I simply cannot recommend it to you enough. I'm 41 years old, and I have more muscle mass, lower body fat, better mood, and more energy than I had when I was 31. Let the trained medical experts at 25 Again help you optimize your body's hormones with a personalized plan developed and monitored just for you. 25 Again also offers primary care options and telehealth. Call the leaders in the field today, 425-0500. Or check them out online at 25again.com.
It all comes down to this. Bellarmine Basketball is back on the air tomorrow with a chance to win the ASUN regular season championship.
Gives to Penn, coming from right to left. Dillon down the lane, scores! What a foul! What a move! He's a whirling dervish here at Freedom Hall.
Join Doug Ormay and Mark Bug as the Knights take on Liberty. Knights pregame coverage begins at 11:45 on all ESPN Louisville stations. If it's Bellarmine Basketball, it plays here on ESPN Louisville. It's not quite March, but that doesn't mean the college basketball fun has to wait. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. And if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. That's right, all it takes is for one three-pointer being hit by your chosen team to turn $1 into $100. If basketball isn't for you, DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds on hockey, soccer, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WHBE to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. That's code WHBE for new customers. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Commonwealth Credit Union has proudly served Kentuckians since 1951, and we're privileged to call Louisville home. We are excited to welcome you back to our Market Street branch as we celebrate our grand reopening March 1st through the 5th. We'll be giving away a Taste of Louisville gift basket, as well as offering specials on auto refinancing, certificates, and more all week long. Visit us online at ccuky.org/celebrate to learn more. Commonwealth Credit Union. Here, we see you differently. Insured by NCUA. All loans subject to approval. Contact us at 1-800-228-6420 for details. Equal housing opportunity.
You heard it on...
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday on the V Show. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Gravy was that loud.
Ooh, blowing our brains out over there.
All right. I think we're okay now. Mike, in NASCAR, they call it the silly season when to the end of the year and everybody's trying to figure out what driver's taking that car and which guy's getting fired, which guy's getting hired. And now college basketball's got a silly season in the middle of the season. There are guys leaving. And I'll be honest, Mike, that's the part I don't understand. And coaches obviously have to take the high road or they'll never get another player again. But, like, the two kids at Pitt.
What's that all?
Why would you leave now?
Yeah.
It's a free space on the bingo board. Play till the end of the year. Go wherever you want, and then you can play with no punishment. There's no difference for their career to leaving now than leaving at the end of the season. Yeah. Unless Capel told him, listen, why don't you guys get the hell out of here? I don't know. Maybe he didn't want him anymore. Yeah. But
it could be. It could have been a culture issue within the Pittsburgh. I don't know. But that's a straight two leading scorers, both of them boogie. Within 2 weeks.
I don't know. And even if you're – I mean, I don't want to ever wonder about another coach, but if I were Coach Capel, I'd wonder about that too. I mean, how much more damage can they do in two more weeks? I mean, you know, you couldn't get productivity from them. Although, I don't know. I had a kid – to this day, I regret taking him. I don't want to even mention where he's from because somebody just from this description might know because it was a school not far from here. He was from New York. He went and played at the school around here. He was highly regarded in that league. He came back to our school, and now I had a pretty good lineup. I had a kid that we recruited out of Delaware that wound up graduating as the all-time leading scorer in the school's history, and a nice little point guard who was his high school teammate, and a couple kids from New York City, the Catholic League, that could shoot it a little bit. And the kid from Delaware was a really good kid. He was just a really sweet kid, easily swayed, but a good kid. And this kid I brought back.
Off the court.
Oh, this kid I brought back, I didn't know till after the year was over, the stuff he was involved in.
I had a kid like that. You didn't know till it's over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because back then you didn't have social media.
You
didn't have a lot of things.
I wasn't following him around. I didn't know. And I realized it destroyed about 2 years' worth of work from having that one kid. So maybe that's how Capel feels. You know, it's Capel's third year there. Maybe he's like, I don't think – these guys don't get it. They're never going to get it. So let's get them the hell out of here and give some of these young kids a chance to play and go forward for next year.
Yeah, I can see from a coach's side that particular approach. I can see that.
So maybe that's what it was.
But you hate to stereotype the kids into being bad people.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We don't know.
He went out of his way to say they're good kids. But,
yeah, but they all say.
They have to say that because they'll never get another kid from whoever they got those kids from. So
it's like I was talking to a guy, and I want to get back to that Pittsburgh thing, but I was talking to a guy the other day about a player, a five-star player, playing college basketball somewhere. And I said, you know, I watched the other day on television or whatever it was. I said, you know, this guy, they're talking about McDonald's All-American. I mean, the broadcasters were wearing out what he did coming out of high school. I'm going, come on, man, let's talk. Let's talk about the here and now, you know. So I was talking with a newspaper guy who's wired into this recruiting stuff. And we weren't talking about recruiting. We were talking about something else. And I said to him, I said, well, how do these people miss on these? You know, you're wired into recruiting. You go to Marshall County and you go to all the places where they have the big high school tournaments. And he goes, well, he said, you know, I had a curiosity thing about some players that are now freshmen in college, and some of them haven't lived up to their billing or whatever across the country. I saw them play at Myrtle Beach. I saw them play wherever. And I talked to people about him. So I called one of the friends of mine who is a guy who gives the stars out, okay? Remember back in the day, there were two guys that gave his stars out, Garfinkel and a guy named Dave Bones in Toledo. There were two of them that were back in this industry of recruiting before anybody. But he called a guy someplace back east and was talking to the guy. And the guy said, look, here's why player X – you're asking about player X. Here's why he's a five-star. He said, I really couldn't make my mind about him. He said, but I got to talking to his prep school coach, and the prep school coach who had other players playing for him that I might want to also rank. And the prep coach goes, you know what? I didn't really like him when he was here, but I didn't want to say anything. He said, you gave him a five-star. Other people talked to me about him, and I had to be careful. But he said, now that it's over, he's gone, and things have changed, and it's shaken out the way it is. He said, I can tell you, he wasn't a five-star. I said, that's a great story,
perfect.
Isn't it? That's perfect, though. You're right.
It absolutely is. And sometimes I think they do it because the evaluators get wrapped up in who's recruiting them. In other words,
absolutely.
Like, well, he's a two or three. Oh, well, two, but he's a three-star. And then all of a sudden they find out that Kansas is in on him, okay? Well, he's got to be a five-star.
Yeah.
And so they've changed the evaluation. Not, you know, even those schools don't get only five-star players.
It's and they miss. Everybody misses on guys to some degree. Now, you know, the Louisville's and the Kentucky's and Ohio State's, Michigan, they don't whiff bad, okay? They don't whiff bad. You think all these kids are going to be home runs. Some of them may be singles and doubles. The problem is at schools like Kentucky and others that everybody has these expectations that you're not allowed to whiff, Bob. You're just not allowed to whiff. And even if you whiff into a double, people think you haven't done the right thing.
Well,
so
the problem is also, I mean, not that the fans care, but from my point of view, we both coached at places where you frankly had to recruit a lot of singles and doubles.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you missed on those kids, they were outs. Yeah. They weren't getting on base at all.
They were three strikes
and
go home.
It was like, oh, my God, why the hell did I recruit this guy?
Yeah. But let's go back to Pittsburgh. I thought that was, first of all, I don't care what anybody says. You know my theory. There's good in the family. There's good in the friends. There ain't any good in the fools. Okay. So these kids are influenced by the family, friends, and fools. And let's hope family gets to the top, okay?
Well, sometimes, in all fairness, the friends, the family are fools also.
Right. But by and large, you hope.
Right.
The family. And I'm not making a racial comment.
No, I'm not making anything.
But people are defending this kid leaving Duke at this point in time. And I can't defend that. I can't defend these two guys leaving Pittsburgh now. That just doesn't make – with what's left of this season.
It doesn't make sense.
You know, if you were that unhappy ongoing, you know, you should have left a long time ago. Or play it out. I mean, just play it out.
That's what I would say. Finish at the end. And the only thing – you know, the guys think today, I'll damage my brand if I stay. Because, I mean, the kid at Duke was supposed to be a stud, and he was averaging like 8 points a game. Yeah. And I'm sure the fools element were telling him,
oh, yeah,
man, you're only scoring 80
poor
a game.
Kid. Yeah, yeah.
And so I
coach isn't using you. The guy's a Hall of Fame coach. He's not using you, right?
He didn't know what he's doing. When it comes to you, he's stupid.
But the Pittsburgh thing was the shocker. Your leading scorer, second leading scorer, and one of them was the point guard, led them in assists. And Pittsburgh's not that bad.
No, when those two guys played, they were competitive. I don't get it. I just, you know. But I was talking to Billis about this yesterday, the day before yesterday, and he said, we're just products of our generation. Our thought was, it's not pleasant. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to finish what I started. The mindset now is, the minute it's unpleasant, just get the hell out. Just.
Yeah, I hate. I can see what you're saying.
Well, that's what he's saying.
I can see some of that. I can in life. I can see some of that. Okay, but I guess it just strikes at us as competitive athletes back in the day that you could be unhappy. But you either transferred at the middle of the year when school between semesters, or you waited till the end.
But the other thing I don't understand, this year is the free space on the bingo board.
Yeah.
So why – I just look at it as if I was a player,
play
I just want to play games.
Yeah.
So if I get 10 minutes a game, it's 10 more minutes than I would have gotten. Who cares? Let me go play. I mean, that's the part I look at. Why would you turn down the opportunity to play games? I mean, that's the whole reason we're doing this, isn't it?
That's the most fun. Practice is not fun.
No.
Practice is not fun.
No.
Okay. I mean, you can have some, but, I mean, it's hard work. You're working on details. You're getting your butt chewed. A lot of things. There's nobody there to cheer for you, whatever. And not a lot to cheer for you now, but it's better than practice.
No,
okay?
No.
So you've come through preseason practice. You've come through maybe some conditioning. You've done a lot of things at this date, and to walk out, man, I'm telling you, Bob, that I just shook my head when I saw that, and I thought, and I don't even know Capel. I have no idea how he runs his program or anything, but boy, to have that happen, man, he must have. My gut feeling is he was happy with them leaving.
I'm going to spend 2 minutes to do something that's a tiny bit selfish, but I hope you'll appreciate it. I played for a guy in college named Don Forsyth at Virginia Wesleyan. It was Virginia Wesleyan College then. It's Virginia Wesleyan University now. When he got to the school before me, they didn't have a gym. They didn't even have a gymnasium to play in. We had to play at the local high school for my first year. Then my sophomore year, we got a gym. And now they have a big, beautiful
complex. Where were
the
baskets hanging?
They were from the ceiling. But he started the program. He was also my golf coach. He was the athletic director. He built it. And they're now a very, very strong Division III program. They play on the Don Forsyth court in their arena. And he passed away yesterday. And, you know, we're all influenced by our coaches, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And sometimes there used to be an old saying, it's amazing as I get older how much smarter my father got. You know, I look back at him and realize how many things he really taught us that at the time I might thought were, why is that a big deal? But he was a class act. You know, when you're in a small college and you're playing and you don't have a gym and, you know, you can sometimes kind of just be sheepish. He wasn't boastful, but he was always take great pride in representing the school. And we won two championships. The guy won. And he was just, we learned class from him. And then when you get out of school, he could be your friend, which was very cool indeed. And it's so weird. Today's lesson is through COVID, my friend Gary Edwards, who's the coach at a Division II school in South Carolina, we were talking and we said, when COVID's over, we got to go see Don, Coach Forsyth. He had moved to Pennsylvania. We got to go catch up with him and see him. And sure enough, we get a text today that he's passed away. So no time like the present. But I don't know why I was so shocked. I know they're not going to live forever. But
how old was he?
I think he was in his mid-70s. I think he had emphysema.
Yeah, he's a young pup.
Yeah, he was. But a good guy. Very, very nice man. I'm looking at a picture of him here. He was, I mean, let's face it. I don't know. Maybe you guys didn't do it with Adolph because he was. But all players poke fun at their coaches.
Oh, sure.
Degree.
Behind their back.
Yes.
In the locker room.
We were reading. A kid was reading a book on the bus back when you read books. Oh, we were on the way to a game. We took buses to our games. And the character, his name was Don Forsyth. The character in the book was named Hooch Fordyce. So for the rest of our time there, behind his back, he became Hooch. That was our guy. Anybody see Hooch today? And we actually told him about it later. He just laughed. But, yeah, that's...
Well, my high school coach had a little pot belly on him. He played at Ohio State.
Oh,
played
wow.
guard. In baseball, he was played in the... He was drafted ultimately and played in the Wooden Bat League up in New England. So he was an accomplished athlete. He had a little pot belly, and it would sometimes be – we called him Fat Jack behind his back.
Yeah, to his face. But those are the things you miss. He was a class act, so he'll be missed. I just wanted to give him a mention because I guarantee 99% of you never heard his name, but you shouldn't. It's one of those guys.
What's personal for you?
It is. Don Forsyth, class act. He's one of those guys that makes college basketball better that you never – heard from. And there's a million of those guys around the country that are doing that. Good coaches, good people, you know, respecting the game, growing the game. And he's one of those guys. So.
Well, those guys, Bob, let's just be honest about it. Those guys were coaching. I don't know if love's the right word, but it was something they really wanted to
yes.
do. Whatever the reasons, they wanted to do that. And they weren't rewarded like they are now. And I'm not saying college guys don't want to do that, but I still think there is not the Roy Williams of the world or John Calipari or Chris Mack, you name, but there are guys in the game at some level that are in it now.
Just for the money.
For the money.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank
I've
you.
Often said,
thank you.
If we went through the list for fun, I'd like to ask, who do you think would be coaching if they weren't making as much money as they are? Who do you think would be and who wouldn't? And it's interesting when you get conversations from people because and there's some that come right to mind, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But like Lou Carnesecca. Carnesecca said once, he coached against my dad in his first high school game. He was the coach at St. Anne's. My father was the coach at St. Nicholas of Tolentine, and that was their first game. And he said, I'd have kept coaching in, you know, in the high school Catholic League if that's where my career – I just – you know, loved basketball, loved to coach it. And
right.
it just so happened that he wound up then getting St. John's, and St. John's got in the Big East, and then some money came after. But he wasn't. But he, well, they weren't making big money when by the time he got out of the game either, to be honest.
No,
with.
No.
The big
Louis,
money came in.
No, no. Louis was not making big
no,
money.
He stayed in that little house. He's still alive, God bless him, in that little house in Queens that he and his wife had probably when they was working at St. Anne's.
Yeah.
It's just.
Is it weird to think that maybe Rick Pitino would be one of those guys? I mean, I know he makes like more money than God, but I mean, the man just
so
seems,
he would be coaching without the money.
Yeah, he just seems to love coaching no matter where it is. I mean, maybe now the fact that he has a ton of money, you know, in the bank, but I mean, I remember the time when Marty Smith came here for game day and they did a little segment about like just like a mid-range jump shot. And you could see Pitino was doing it with him and he like his eyes lit up. And he was, I mean, he was just, I mean, it was supposed to be a fun segment, and Pitino was having fun with it, but he was breaking down fundamentals and every, I mean, it turned into an actual coach's corner when it was just supposed to be a fun game day throwaway segment with Marty, Party Marty.
But, Nick, I will have to ask you this. It was being taped to be used on television, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the pedestal those guys like to be on. I don't know. Platform is a bit. That's the platform they want to be on. It's showtime. I mean, it's become for many showtime. It's become for many showtime.
I'll give you a guy who I think is like that, a guy you're talking about. Pat Riley calls them lifers. You can like the guy, dislike the guy. I'm not advocating one way or another, but Larry Brown is like that. Larry, when he got let go at SMU, very, very seriously, at like 71, thought about coming back to take a high school job. Did you know? I mean, he was.
I read that.
He was very close to taking it because he really does live to coach.
Where is he these days?
Sorry?
Where is Coach Brown? Is he?
He's retired. I think he's living in Philadelphia, maybe.
Is he in Philly?
Somewhere.
I thought he was in California.
Oh, he could be.
Yeah, I think he got a place in California going all the way back when he was at UCLA. And I think he.
I know he coached SMU. What did he do after that? Was there? Was there?
Saying nothing.
Oh, okay. That was his last
high school.
Okay,
he
that
had taken a high school.
I wasn't sure if there was a little stop in between there.
There were stops right before that in the NBA, but the college game, he wanted to come back, left the NBA, or the NBA left him, and he said, this is where I belong. I belong in college.
Well, I remember the Knicks hired him to, you know, but, I mean, he was basically the captain of a sinking ship. That was
I'll tell you guys a great story that Carl Scheer, who was the general manager of Denver, and later on was in the original Charlotte Hornets, and ABA guy, He was the GM, and Larry was coaching Denver. And he came into Carl, started training camp, and he says, man, he said, you know, we got to get rid of this guy and that guy. And I Carl, you got to get me George McGinnis. You got to get me George. Carl said it went on for a week at training camp. And they're getting ready to break training camp, and, or they do, I can't remember. Carl said, Larry's in there. I said, Carl, I don't care who you get rid of. Get me George McGinnis. So Carl's been working the phones, and he's close to a deal. He puts the deal together. He gets McGinnis. And I think Bobby Jones was part of the deal, you know. And that was a killer. That's how Bobby Jones got to Philly from Denver. But anyway, the deal was put together, and they got McGinnis. And Carl said within 2 days of what was left of training camp, Larry Brown's up in my office.
Get
that SOB out of here. I don't like him. He won't listen, blah, 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 blah. And George is a nice guy. I know George a little bit. Really nice guy. But, man, Larry, you know, that's that. But mercurial, would that be the word with this personality?
Well, they all – I mean, this is the part I miss about coaching, because when push comes to shove and you get all the money and the TV shows and the private planes, it's not a whole lot different than the guys you would talk to in your local high school league. The same stuff goes on. Like, I guess I could tell this story. I was talking to Rick when he was going through his crap at Boston. And, you know, everybody was talking about how they thought they were going to win the lottery to get Tim Duncan. And
right.
He didn't.
Right.
He said, well, that's not really what screwed us. PJ Carlissimo lied to me about Kenny Anderson. That's what he told me. He said, I went on PJ's word, and I got Kenny Anderson. He was terrible for us. But he was blaming
PJ.
PJ.
For the kid not playing. A pro not playing. Well, I mean, you know.
It's just that, I mean, they're all horse traders.
Yeah, yeah.
they really are. You know, you get to the NFL draft, and they try and mislead. Well, the NBA draft does it too.
Oh.
They talk about, well, I don't know, that guy might be a little small, or trying to make it look like they're not interested. Meanwhile, they're crossing their fingers and praying that the guy still lasts there.
And they've been known over the years and to this day to build guys up they're really not interested in. You know, they're showing you the left or the right's working someplace else. They said, man, I don't like that Pratt guy or that big Valvano Bob, but I like that Nicky. I better not talk about Nicky Valvano, okay? I'll leave him down.
They have impeccable taste.
And they do that, and they'll misdirect, and that's why so many times these mock drafts are ridiculous, and they turn out to be bad because they can't talk about a player. They don't want to talk about a player,
right.
A particular player for them. They'll talk generalization, but and I remember when I was with the Hornets in the week of the draft, we would all come in that week, and man, some guys were hard to get up with. And Carl would be PO'd, and Gene Littles, who was the director of player personnel, would be PO'd. Then they'd call back, and then they think they have a deal, and they would go on, and they're getting close to the cutoff time on draft day, and they can't get anybody to return the call. And then all of a sudden, at 1 till 2 or 1 till 3, they get this call, okay? And then you got to call the NBA and say, okay, you got to approve this thing. So – yeah, it's horse traders, right?
It's fun. That part of it's fun.
I
think that's kind of fun to look in from the outside. Speaking of fun, how about the New York Knicker Cats?
I mean, Julius Randle's having a career year, and my guy Quickly, man, I'm telling you what,
Nerland, it's UK North, Wells, man.
Who?
It's UK North. That's what it is.
Yeah. The Knicks. And Noel's playing some spot minutes off the bench and
quickly's playing his brains out.
He can play. People missed him.
I'm also happy. Did you see who played good the other night?
Who?
Rose.
Who?
Derrick Rose.
Oh yeah. He's still got some stuff in the tank.
He's good for quickly. I've only done about a handful of maybe four or five NBA games for ESPN, but one of them was Rose when he was with the. With the Bulls, and he was our post-game interview, and he was great. So I really liked him. And if he's got a thing with Thibs for some reason, I don't know what it is, but they seem to like each other.
A hard guy to play for. Most guys don't have a thing for him.
He seems to embrace the hell out of it. They scored 140 points the other night. The Knicks beat the Sacramento 140-121.
That's old school, man.
They made 19 three-point shots. Quickly made three. Burks, where'd he play?
Burke?
Colorado. Yep. Alec Burks played in Colorado.
Yep.
He made five threes. Randall had 21 points, 14 rebounds. Rose had 18 points, six assists, three rebounds. It's actually fun to watch them.
Everything I've been reading about them is that Rose has been a good guy every place he's been.
Yeah, supposedly. He's been a good
influence. And they say that he's really helping quickly out.
Quickly, 25 points.
Yeah, no,
wow.
That was
25 points in 20 minutes.
Yep. Well, yeah, he can shoot the tray. Now he can get to the charity stripe, and he can also convert there.
They're fun to watch for the first time in a million years.
They go make the playoffs?
Well, they're still on the outside looking in right now, but not by much. They are. In the East, they are currently – oh, no, they're back in. With that win, they put themselves back in. They're in a four-way tie for fifth place. But they're only half a game ahead of Boston and Miami. So it's still wide open. You lose two games in a row, you're going to drop from fifth to 11th.
And Boston is really struggling trying to find that mix. They've got quite a few role players playing some big minutes, and they're really struggling, man.
Strange, very strange.
I watched them the other night. I didn't like their game. I didn't watch the whole game, watched a quarter, and I thought, you know, that team doesn't look real good. I mean, that's something wrong with that team.
Yep, they're 15-17. Miami's 15-17. The Knicks are 16-17. Toronto's 16-17. Pacers right now would be the four seed at 15-15. So the East looks wide open in terms of after Philadelphia and maybe Brooklyn, but I just cannot bring myself to root for Brooklyn. Can't do it. Can't do it, Sally. Can't do it. You know that for me. I root for everybody in New York.
What if they were called the Long Island Nets?
No, it doesn't matter. If they got rid of Kyrie, maybe. I can't. That guy just doesn't sit well with me.
Now he wants to change the logo. You know, I mean, he wants to do everything. You know, I tell you,
he's going
to
coach the team.
Yeah, you know what, Kyrie? Buy a team. Be the general manager, be the coach, whatever you want. Just go ahead and buy one. That way you can do it.
You know what also stinks, by the way? This should be worth getting into a minute. We only have we'll do it on the other side. They should do away with all the All-Star games. They all suck except baseball.
Basketball used to be really good.
They all used to be good.
Yeah, they did. Because we used to wait up to watch the baseball All-Star game.
The baseball game I would keep.
And the basketball.
Ultimately, it's pitcher versus batter, and they're still going to try in that matchup. But the rest of it sucks. You watch the All-Star game, they get out of each other's way to let you – I'll let you make a dunk.
Throw
you
it off the backboard.
It's ridiculous. And the reason is because back, as you know, when you played, the winning team got like, I don't know,
$5,000.
The losers got $2,000. That $3,000 meant a lot to those guys.
Yep.
And they gave the MVP a car.
Yep.
And he wanted that. Now, the only way you could do it is if the winning team got like $5 million. The losing team got $1 million, and the MVP got a car dealership. Then maybe you'd have the same kind of energy.
Well, they've tried to engage these players.
Yeah, make them draft. It makes it even more gimmicky.
But they also are playing for various charities. So if you're on the winning side, your charity gets whatever the XXX is. They're trying to get away from what we see and what we don't like.
Especially this year with COVID.
And football's
going on.
Worse.
Football, how can you play that game?
Oh.
I mean, you don't go grab a few friends and go to the park and play a game of tackle football. It's just, you know.
Not at that level with those guys.
No,
nope.
No.
Nope.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More to come here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.